public opinion was longing for that resignation. Maybe Mr. Beblawi did the most that he can. He tried faithfully to serve Egypt, but in fact, he failed on two major grounds. He failed in restoring the dignity of the state and having a very firm grip on the lost security, and he failed in addressing the economic situation by just leaving Egyptians to be careless about the economic challenge.
That is the voice of Yusuf Sidhom, who is the editor-in-chief of the Egyptian newspaper Watani. And he was commenting on what's been a very big surprise, the resignation of Egypt's military-backed Prime Minister, Hazem al-Bablawi, and his government. So this means Egypt's now bracing for its sixth government since the start of the 2011 uprising. What's behind this, though? Because there have been a lot of suggestions that this paves the way for Field Marshal Abdel Fattah al-Sisi to become president when he's elected. If so, how is that the case? Well, Adel Abdel Ghaffar might be able to tell us, a researcher at the ANU's Centre for Arab and Islamic Studies, has been following these developments closely. Adel, can you actually explain that to us? How does this help Field General al-Sisi become president?
Well, there's two ways to look at it. The government's resignation has happened because it was under a lot of pressure. Its inability to actually reach any of the aspirations of the people. But on the other hand, also, it could be a way to clean the house for Abdel Fattah al-Sisi and not see him as resigning on his own, but actually be part of a whole cabinet that has resigned. And then the future cabinet of Egypt will be actually, he can help design from the background according to his needs and what. So again, we have these two theories. Until now, we do not know which way it will go. What we do know actually, or we can more speculate on, is that he will be running for president and he's preparing the team around him. As your report has said, Hazem Beblawi has been quite ineffective over the past period in working with Egypt, and of course the economic conditions have worsened and there's extra pressure on him, not just from the Muslim Brotherhood, but actually from a lot of these labor protests that have been happening over the past 2 weeks. And I think they have this cabinet has reached a breaking point.
Right, but every analysis I've read seems to suggest that Field Marshal al-Sisi is going to romp it in to get the presidency. It's almost a foregone conclusion, if he runs, which he hasn't yet announced, but it seems he will, that he'll become the president easily when elections are finally held. So why would any of this be necessary?
Well, again, there could be potential friction within the cabinet. None of the Egypt watchers or scholars or academics have actually been expecting this. This has come as a complete surprise. So people have been actually quite speculating for the past 24 hours. As I said, it's either discontent and friction within this government, or just Sisi wanting to be part of a cabinet that resigns and he comes back with a fresh slate with a new cabinet that he decides on. Of course, Sisi is running right now on this massive wave of populism. Nonetheless, Egypt's structural problems still remain, economic problems mostly, which Sisi will inherit. And we will actually see over the coming period whether this populism will last too long, because ultimately he will be faced with some very hard economic decisions that he will have to make to actually get the economy back on track. Whether he will be able to or not is the million-dollar question.
Do you think it's possible he will now take this opportunity to install a new government and almost give them a trial ahead of the election and see whether or not they're up to the job?
Exactly, and of course he will keep his inner core team, Ministry of Interior, and of course the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. He will see that there's a few people that he could have that were quite reliable in the past period, but unfortunately, Prime Minister Beblawi was not part of this team. If you look at Prime Minister Beblawi, this is actually a person who actually worked under Mubarak. He worked under the transitional government. He worked as a minister for Morsi, and he worked for Sisi now, you know. So this is a person and who's 80 something years old, who's quite old, who's not as dynamic as this period of Egypt actually needs someone to be.
So what's the impact that this actually has on Egypt in the short term?
Well, of course, it's more shows more instability. It actually gives ammunition to the opposition, which has actually subsided. Of course, there is more localized protest for the Muslim Brotherhood, but of course, this has given ammo to the Muslim Brotherhood and its allies, and saying, look, this coup government is unable to govern. There's cracks in the system, and so on and so forth. So, of course, the onus now is on the new interim government to establish some sort of stability, because, again, this will have a deep economic effect in terms of scaring away investors for the near and medium future.
But, I mean, are you seriously suggesting that this could in any way really help the Brotherhood, given that they're now illegal, so much of their leadership is now in prison or on trial? It seems that there's a long, long way back for them.
No, no, I wouldn't say help them in the immediate term, but actually this is the discourse that they've been saying, the anti-coup alliance is pointing towards this as a failure in government. Whether this gives them a more of an opening, it won't, because as we've seen, the leadership of the Muslim Brotherhood has been disseminated and lots of its rank and file have been arrested. But again, if anyone in reasonable in the next government will actually look towards the reconciliation, because you cannot really designate a group that's the biggest opposition group in Egypt with 2 million members as a terrorist group overnight. The Muslim Brotherhood is part of the political spectrum, whether people like it or not, and reconciliation is a potential hope for Egypt. If there is no reconciliation, both sides, the military and the Muslim Brotherhood, will continue towards the brinkmanship, which might push Egypt further to the edge.
Well, except you'd have to question the capacity of the Muslim Brotherhood to have that brinkmanship, given that clearly they lost a significant degree of support during Morsi's time. And now I note that in court he's been accused of giving state secrets to Iran. So this would have to have some kind of effect, you would have thought, at least on his credibility in the public mind.
Of course it does, but I'm also not talking just about the Muslim Brotherhood, but about the Islamist movement in general, because also we have offshoots of the Muslim Brotherhood and of the Jama'a Islamiyah, and there is an insurgency that is happening with terrorist attacks that are happening, and this is the way that they can fight this, a low-level insurgency that could keep scaring away investors and so on. So the Islamist camp, the opposition camp, is not attempting to win. It cannot win at this stage, but what it can do is attempt to make Egypt stand in a standstill, and to ground it, to halt.
Well, new cabinet in a few days. We'll see whether or not that sheds any more light on exactly what's behind all of this. In the meantime, Adel, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Adel Abdel Ghaffar, who's a researcher at the ANU Centre for Arab and Islamic Studies.